Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Caixin Sinica Business Brief, brought to you by SubChina. Each week, we bring you a roundup from the world of business in China from Caixin, China's authority on business and financial news, as well as interviews with Caixin Global reporters and editors. I'm Kaiser Guo from the Sinica Podcast. After a two-week break, the Caixin Sinica Business Brief is back with all the most important business news from China. And if you thought these late June temperatures were sizzling hot, just wait until you hear what hot stories we're covering on this week's episode. TikTok's Chinese sister app Douyin has scored a huge deal to stream the World Cup. President Xi Jinping has hit out at sanctions, calling them a double-edged sword. Plus, how officials in one Chinese province have been accused of abusing a digital health code system for some very sketchy reasons. With all the biggest stories of the past week, here is your roundup. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai has said that additional American tariffs on Chinese imports are valuable when it comes to negotiations with Beijing. When asked during a Senate debate last week if removing tariffs could prompt, quote, more bad behavior from the Asian nation, Tai said that the China tariffs are a significant piece of leverage, adding that a trade negotiator never walks away from leverage. Early this month, U.S. President Joe Biden said he is going to consider whether or not to withdraw the duties on Chinese goods. These tariffs were first introduced by former President Donald Trump amid U.S.-China trade tensions. And speaking of trade and geopolitics, the BRICS Business Forum kicked off last week. As a reminder, the BRICS group includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This year's summit was held online and hosted by China. In a speech kicking off the summit, President Xi Jinping called for strengthening macroeconomic policy coordination to overcome the global economic crisis. He also urged developed countries to pursue responsible economic policies and avoid a serious spillover impact on developing countries. Without naming a specific country, Xi criticized sanctions as a double-edged sword and called for upholding the multilateral trading system with the World Trade Organization at its core. The Chinese president went on to say that the Ukraine crisis has sounded an alarm to the world. Expansion of military alliances and seeking one's own security at the expense of the security of others are bound to create a security dilemma. And moving from the World Trade Organization to the World Cup, ByteDance's short video app Douyin will live stream the 2022 Global Soccer Tournament online in China. That's after the platform was chosen as a partner by China Media Group, the parent of state broadcaster CCTV. China Media Group, which has exclusive local broadcast rights to the World Cup, has decided to license Douyin to live stream the football tournament and will also work with the firm to create interactive content for audiences. Douyin also won the rights for user-generated content for the 2021 Copa America, a South American football tournament, while during the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympic Games and Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, they'd invited athletes and the Olympic Committee to create exclusive video content. In other business news, China's top securities regulator has issued draft rules for private pension investment products. Last week, the China Securities Regulatory Commission released draft rules that stipulate the standards as well as requirements for the management and sales of such products. The rules came after the State Council, China's cabinet, in April issued a document laying out a policy framework for development of the private pension system. Under the policy, people covered by the state-run pension system can take part in the pilot program and make voluntary contributions of as much as 12,000 yuan a year, or about $1,800, which will qualify for unspecified tax relief. The money can be used to invest in eligible products and be locked up in a designated account until retirement. The effort to develop private pensions comes as China is in a race against time to provide financial security for its ballooning elderly population. The country has spent more than three decades building a modern pension system around three pillars: the basic state pension, employer annuities, and personal pensions. Lu Junsi, an ex-chairman of Gri Real Estate, is fighting back against accusations of insider trading that led to his recent detention by police. Lu said police in Shangrao, a city in East China's Jiangxi province, acted illegally during their investigation after he reported six individuals for insider trading. That's according to letters recently circulated on the internet. His allegations add to the deepening mystery surrounding probes into Gri, which started in 2020 after the state-linked real estate firm announced a plan to buy Zhuhai Duty Free Enterprise Group, a retail chain selling duty-free goods, for $1.8 billion. Both China's securities regulator and local police in Shangrao, a city with no evident connection to either company, started investigations into unusual trading in Gri's shares before and after the company announced the deal in May 2020. The regulator has made no public announcement about the progress of its investigation. Gri ended up scrapping the deal in February 2021 because of the ongoing investigation into insider trading. NIO has found itself in an uncomfortable spotlight. That's after one of its test cars fell out of a third-floor parking lot in Shanghai, killing two staffers on board. The Chinese electric vehicle maker confirmed the news in a statement. Two digital cockpit testing staffers, one NIO employee and one partner staff member, were killed. In a statement, the company said that after an on-site analysis, it can be preliminarily confirmed that the accident had nothing to do with the vehicle itself. The statement was momentarily deleted, and NIO put out a second statement with a slight change in wording, saying that it can be preliminarily confirmed that it was an accident not caused by issues with the vehicle. A NIO staffer told Caixin that the vehicle was an ET7 test model. The vehicle was said to have suddenly accelerated, breaking through the wall and falling from the building. And last but not least, China remains on high alert when it comes to COVID. Just ask residents of one northeastern city who suddenly found themselves in lockdown after a single COVID case was detected. The city of Jilin banned all of its 3.6 million citizens from leaving their residential communities unless necessary. This isn't the first time that Jilin has gone into a COVID lockdown this year. In mid-March, the province where the city is based, which is also called Jilin, put all of its 24 million residents under lockdown. That's after a spike in virus cases was confirmed. Let's turn now to Caixin Global podcast producer and co-producer of this show, Nandini Venkata, who joins from Beijing. Nandini, I think this week you're going to be digging into that story about how local officials in a certain province were abusing the digital health kit. Can you walk us through what's going on?
Hey, Kaiser. Great to be here. Yeah, sure. So this story takes place in a province in central China. It's called Henan. And I think it's very likely that some of your listeners may be familiar with this province because roughly a year ago, it was the site of some really devastating floods that, you know, a lot of people lost their lives in and lost their homes. But yeah, this is not related to those floods. Instead, it's all about how a health code app that was created to track and trace COVID infections may have allegedly been abused by local officials for some very, very different reasons. So all of this kicked off a few weeks ago when this article appeared on social media. And it was all about how people who had either traveled to Henan or they had actually only just made plans to go to Henan, they hadn't actually even physically arrived at this location, well, they found that their health code app had turned red or turned yellow. And that means that they were flagged as a potential COVID risk.
Okay, so on this note, we should clarify what this health code system actually is, because a lot of people outside of China might not be familiar with it, right?
Yeah, that is a very good point. So basically, this is an app that regions throughout China, they have created their own local versions. And as I said, it's all about tracking and tracing COVID cases within the country. So every time you want to go to a public place, for example, like an airport, or you want to go onto public transportation, even when I want to enter my office building or go visit a friend, go into their apartment building, I have to take out this app on my phone, scan a QR code, and then it will show my status. So I've been very lucky, so most of the time it is green. But if you have a problem, then it will turn yellow or red. And the result of that is that you're flagged as a COVID risk and your movements are then severely restricted because, you know, no place is going to allow you to go in if they think you could potentially spread COVID. So you may not be able to go anywhere. And also, you could actually very likely end up in centralized quarantine. So with this case about these people in Henan suddenly finding that they had been flagged as with the red code on their digital health kit apps, well, some of them did end up in centralized quarantine, which, of course, you know, is not very convenient, to put it mildly.
Okay, so let's get back to the article. Why would those officials in Henan allegedly do this?
This is where things get really interesting. So it all goes back to some local rural banks in Henan that had apparently frozen the online banking services of these people involved. So they had to physically travel there in order to withdraw their money. And according to this article, it seems that the local officials, they had exploited the health code system to stop them from being able to take out their money from various rural banks in Henan.
So Nandini, I think a few days later, there were a bunch of other stories following on that from people claiming that their health codes had turned red for other possibly nefarious reasons.
Yeah, that's correct. So for example, there was a number of property owners who were involved in a rights protest, and they reportedly experienced similar issues with their health codes. And then there was also this other case about one resident in Henan who decided to sue the provincial public health authority because she said that they had also allegedly exploited the health code system. She says she had traveled to Beijing and traveled back to Henan. And the whole way through, you know, with her traveling, she had followed all the local disease control rules and her digital health kit was green, you know, meaning that there was no problem. And on June 13th, she was supposed to attend a court hearing on a dispute regarding the demolition of her house. But on that day, her health kit turned yellow. So, okay, not as bad as red, but it still meant that she could not attend this hearing and it had to be postponed.
So what's the latest on this matter? What have authorities said based on the investigations so far?
Yeah, so Graphbusters say that four officials and one big data company executive were indeed found to have taken advantage of the healthcare system in order to stop people from taking their money out from these ailing local banks. And all of them have been punished. Some have been demoted. Others have been removed from their positions or received demerits.
And Nandini, why is this a significant story? I mean, it's Hunan, which, as my family's ancestral province, has a certain, let us say, less than savory reputation in China. But maybe it's not so familiar to people outside of China.
Of course, I'm sure a lot of listeners haven't heard of this one particular province or even, you know, be aware what digital online health kit is. But it remains a big story because, you know, a lot of people are really quite outraged that some local authorities could take advantage of a system, you know, that was designed to control COVID outbreaks. And, you know, that they would do this for some very, very different reasons. So this has led to some really big questions being raised. Who is in control of the local health kit code systems in China? And then who is responsible for acts that violate the rights and the privacy of residents? So these are really, really big issues. And of course, as China, you know, continues to stick with this dynamic zero COVID policy, this health code system isn't going away anytime soon. So I'm sure a lot of people may be worried about whether something like this could happen again elsewhere in the country.
Okay, thank you, Nandini.
Thanks, Kaiser.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. The Caixin Seneca Business Brief is produced by Kaiser Guo and Nandini Venkata with stories from the staff of Caixin Global. Special thanks to Li Xin of Caixin Global. Thanks to Spring and Autumn for the music. Check out some of the other great podcasts on the Seneca Network, like the amazing China in Africa podcast and China Corner Office. And for daily news and views, make sure to subscribe to SubChina China Access for the daily newsletter. Find us at subchina.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care.